Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Yevamos, daf Lamed Vav. We made our way yesterday to Lamed Hey. We are towards the top of Lamed Hey and Aleph, where we're continuing a discussion from the Gemara that we had yesterday. Before we continue, just thanking the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf of the Lenin Lezech and Ishmael Lois Lupin Zaltzman. Take a look back on Lamed Lamed Beis, where we're going to start. We're going to just take a small step backwards, just to get us into the beginning of this discussion of the Gemara. We are finishing up now the third parak of the Masechta, and the last sugya of the Masechta dealt with a Mishnah that didn't have much Yibam consequence, but had a lot of discussion regarding a pair of brothers who married a pair of sisters, and a terribly unfortunate accident, and the first night of the wedding, the wives got swapped. So the Mishnah describes the scenarios in which there are going to be four Isurim involved in this, and because there were four participants in the four Isurim, so therefore there are 16 Karban Chatasis, assuming that all this was done b'shogeg, and it engendered a lot of discussion in the Gemara, and the Gemara spent some time yesterday discussing the requirement, the need for them to be mafish. They have to separate from their real husbands for the next 90 days, and the reason why is because we want to establish paternity. If in the event that they got pregnant from the result of that first night, that tragic first night, so they need to know that, and they have to know who the father is. The establishment of paternity is of paramount importance. So therefore, they have to separate. And then it led the Gemara down the discussion of, is it possible for a woman to become pregnant on the Biyah Rishon, on the first Biyah? So the assumption of the Gemara is generally no. The Gemara points out that anecdotally, there are historically women in the Torah who did become pregnant. We looked at yesterday's Parsha as an example, though the Gemara didn't mention yesterday's Parsha, Parsha's Vayera. But the Gemara asked by Tamar, where she got pregnant from her first Bia. The Gemara then was bothered by a simple question, and that was that that's not her first Bia. Okay, but anyway, that was the discussion that ensued in the Gemara yesterday. Amar Shmuel, we're going to start in the very bottom of Lamed Aleph Beis. I know we did this yesterday, but again, it's just the beginning of this section of the Gemara. Amar Shmuel b'kulin tzrichon lahamtim gimel chadashim. They all have to wait 3 months. Meaning Shmuel's of the opinion that in all these scenarios, women who had relations, and then they're going to move on to another man. Okay, they have to wait 3 months. And again, the idea is very simple. They have to establish paternity. And the exceptions are chutz migiyars u'mishuchars ketana. Except for someone who converted and someone who was freed. In other words, she was a Shivcha Kananis, and she was freed. Her freedom results in her becoming a full-fledged Jew. So in those situations, if she's a Ketan, if she's a minor, so then she does not have to wait the requisite 3 months. The Gemara says, but if she's a Ketana, meaning she did not go through a conversion, either a regular Gerus or Shechur, but if she's just a regular Bas Yisrael, even though she's a Ketana, she does have to wait the requisite 3 months. So the Gemara says, now, on this particular scenario of Amai, what scenario are we talking about where she was married as a minor, and then the marriage terminated, and then she's going to have to wait 3 months? Exactly what are we talking about? Uvamai. Even Mian, the Gemara points out, if we're talking about Mian, Mian is where the marriage that was set up was done not by her father, but was set up by her brother or by her mother, where the marriage is midrabanan, where she has the ability to annul the marriage. So the Gemara says, Vamar Shmuel, delo baya. So Shmuel over there says that there is no requirement. For her to wait the requisite 3 months. And if the Eib again, the Gemara says, now if we're talking about again, Hamar Shmuel, Chadazimna, well, Shmuel already established in that case, the Hamar Shmuel, Miana Boen, Srichalahamti, Shoshachadashim, Nasalanget, Srichalahamti, Gemel Chadashim. Shmuel says that if a woman is divorced through a get, even though she's a Katana, and even though it is impossible for her to have a child, nevertheless, she still has to wait the requisite 3 months. Because get is usually how marriages are terminated. I understand widow as well, but get is usually how marriages are terminated, and so therefore, even though she's a katana, and even though for her, there would be no need for her to wait the requisite 3 months, but gzeirah derabbanan, it's a rabbinic decree. Any time that a woman leaves her husband with a get, she has to wait the requisite 3 months. So the problem now is going back to the original statement to Shmuel. Shmuel said that when a woman terminates a marriage and goes into a new marriage, even as a katana, she has to wait the requisite 3 months. At this point, either we're talking about Mian, and Shmuel says that's an exception, or we're talking about get, but Shmuel already made that point once before. So the original statement to Shmuel, why was it necessary? Elabaz Nus. So the Gemara says, we're talking about in the scenario of Nus, where the woman was with a man, but not in the context of marriage, and that marriage was, no, sorry, and that relationship was terminated, and so under such circumstances, she will have to wait the requisite 3 months. The Gazra Rabbanan Ketana Mishum Gedola. Now again, in this scenario, there's no need in this particular scenario for her to wait 3 months because she's Ketana, and she's not going to get pregnant, and there's no need for her to establish paternity. But nevertheless, Gzeira, that's part of the rabbinic decree. So Migazuna Ketana Mishum Gedola Vatan, the Gemara says, really, we're going to do that? Meaning we're going to make a Gzeira that extends to a woman who's a Ketana, a girl who's a Ketana, to Gedola, because an adult in a similar scenario would have to also wait 3 months. Vatanam, but the Gemara points out, but we learned in the Mishnah. Our Mishnah, Imhayu Ketana Shenu Rulei Led Maxino Samiyan. What do we see in our Mishnah? Exactly that a woman was with a man. She's not a woman, she was a girl. She was a Ketana, she was with a man. And our Mishnah says straight out that if she's incapable of getting pregnant, so therefore there's no issues of paternity, of establishing who the father is, so then she can resume the relationship with her husband right away. And she doesn't have to wait 3 months. So how can Shmuel say that a woman, a Ketana, has to wait 3 months? It sounds like our Mishnah that Ketana doesn't. So Amar Rav Gidol, Amar Rav Harash Aisa. So the Gemara's first answer is, well, our Mishnah is talking about an exceptional scenario. It was a special case, it was a unique case, and Harasha, and a psak was given out, but a one-time psak that was given out, and it doesn't generate the normative halacha. So Mechal de Havai, the Gemara says, now wait a second. Look back at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is a very unusual Mishnah. It describes a scenario where two brothers are married to two sisters, and by accident, the first night of the marriage, the two sisters swapped. Our Mishnah is not describing a scenario of here's what happened and here was our response, but rather Mechlal de Havai. So what do you say? It sounds like you think our Mishnah actually happened. So the Gemara says Ella Bara Ella. So in other words, our Mishnah here is dealing with principles and concepts, but the Mishnah is not actually addressing a one-time scenario. So Ella Kiharasha Haisa V'chilav Lo Shchiach. So the Gemara says you're right. Right. Our Mishnah is not dealing with a scenario that actually happened. Our Mishnah is operating with concepts and principles, and we get to understand what are some of the general ideas of Isurim, Isur, Chalal, Isur, etc., etc. In terms of why our Mishnah allows a Ketana who was involved in such an unusual scenario to not have to wait the three-month requirement, is very simple, because it's so unusual. Meaning, if in the event that our Mishnah happened, it's so unlikely that it would, but if in the event that it did, the Chachamim are not going to make a gzera in such a scenario, because it's so unusual. That's why our Mishnah allows the Ketana to resume the relationship with her quote-unquote real husband, not her quote-unquote, but her real husband immediately. Good. But that doesn't affect Shmuel's halacha. Shmuel's halacha is that if a woman or if a girl were involved in a relationship both in or outside of marriage, and that relationship is terminated, and now she's going to go to a new husband, so she's going to have to wait 3 months. And even though she's a Ketana, she's going to have to wait 3 months. And the only exception, according to our first version of Shmuel, is Mion. Mion is unusual, Mion is exceptional, and so therefore in Mion she doesn't have to wait 3 months. But outside of Mion, if it's Get, so the Chachamim made Gzera even when she's a Ketana. Good. Continuing in the Gemara, Lishna Achrina, that's exactly where we got to yesterday. Lishna Achrina, the Gemara is going to give us now another version of the statement of Shmuel. Amri la, Amr, Shmuel kulan srichan, lahamtin gimel chadashin, chutz mi yars meshachreres gedola. Here in the second version of Shmuel, it's going to be a little bit more relaxed in terms of its psak. When does a woman have to wait the 3 months? That is talking about a convert or meshachreres when she's an adult. But a minor who experiences a divorce or Mion, well, we'll get to Mion in just a moment, but who leaves one husband to go to another, so she doesn't have to wait 3 months. And the reason is very simple, because as a minor, she's not going to have a child, and therefore, there's no concern about establishing paternity. So, Bemai, the Gemara says, now, this statement to Shmuel, what is it talking about? So the Gemara says, if she terminated a relationship from her husband through Mion, which again means that the marriage was set up either by her brother or by her mother, the marriage only operates on a derabbanan level, so the rabbis afforded her the right to annul the marriage through what's called Mion, which we're going to discuss in more detail later in the Masechta, but anyway, the Gemara says, okay, but we know Shmuel's position already in the case of Mion, which is she does not have to wait 3 months. And Ebe Get, and the Gemara says, now if she terminated the marriage through Get, Ha Kamar Shmuel, Debaya. Shmuel there in that scenario says that even though she's a minor, but if the marriage was terminated with a get, she's going to have to wait the 3 months. The Amar Shmuel, the Gemara quotes this statement to Shmuel again. But again, this is the second version of Shmuel. So it's, Mi'ana bo en estrich lahamtin, shosha chadashin. If she did Mian, if she terminated the marriage through Mian, so she does not have to wait 3 months. But nasan laget, but if she gave her a divorce, estrich lahamtin gimel chadashin. So elab is nos. So the Gemara says we're talking about where she terminated the relationship, meaning it wasn't marriage, it was a relationship. She was involved in znos. Now again, she's a minor, so like the Gemara said earlier, for her it's not znos, for her it's ones. But still, in other words, the point is that she was with a man. It was not under the context of marriage. It was just a relationship. And v'znos b'ktana lo shchiach. So the Gemara says, now this is very unusual. So the rabbis did not make a gzera in such an unusual scenario. So the Gemara says, fine. So totally understood, but a Giyaris and a Meshechreres, so for them, Znus is not as uncommon. The Gemara makes an assumption that for Klal Yisrael, so being involved in relations outside the context of marriage, that's highly unusual. But the Gemara says, but in the world of the Goyim, in the world of the Shfachos and Avadim, it's not so unusual. So the Gemara says, fine. So if it's predicated on the rabbis will make a gzera when it's unusual and it's lo shchiach, but they will make a gzera if it's not so unusual, if it's common. So I don't understand, asked the Gemara. So why not make a gzera for the giyaris and the meshuchreres? So who damar karev yosi detanya? The Gemara says, okay. But in this regard, what Shmuel's doing is he's following the thinking of Rav Yosi. We learned in a bright thing, yoros vashvuya vashivcha. If I have either a convert, or a captive, or a shivcha, sheniftu v'shenishgayru v'shenishtachru, and they basically they experienced emancipation, either all three of them. Emancipation over here just simply means that they went through a change, right? The Giyaris, obviously, she converted. The captive was redeemed, and the shivcha was freed. In any one of these situations, tzrichos lamtin gimel chadashin, divrei Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda says they have to wait 3 months. Okay, makes sense, because they have to establish paternity. And Rav Yosi, mater li aris vilinase miyad. And Rav Yosi says, no, they're allowed to get married right away. Okay, the obvious question, which the Gemara is about to tackle. Why? Meaning Rav Yehuda's position makes perfect sense. If we need to establish paternity, and we're going to assume that they had relations right up to the point where they went through that life-changing event, so Rav Yehuda makes perfect sense. They're going to have to wait 3 months in order to establish paternity. And what's behind the position of Rav Yosi that he says that they don't have to wait? So before we give an explanation, but just to put it back now in the context of the Gemara, so the Gemara says that's Shmuel, meaning now we understand what's behind Shmuel's position. Shmuel says that a shivcha or a giyaris does not have to wait 3 months. What's he doing there? Why don't they have to wait 3 months? And the answer is because he's going like Rav Yosi. Whatever explanation we're going to give for Rav Yosi is going to be the same explanation we're going to give for Shmuel, period. Oh, not period, but good. That's now an understanding of Shmuel version number two. So again, the big difference between the first, the two versions of Shmuel, is Shmuel in version number one is going to always require a woman to wait the requisite 3 months, except for a ketana who underwent mian. But other than that, otherwise a woman is always going to have to be involved in a woman who is who's changing husbands or men is going to have to wait 3 months in order to establish paternity. And in the second version of Shmuel, he's a little more relaxed. In other words, generally a woman does have to wait. If the marriage was severed with a get, and she's moving on to another man, she's going to have to wait. Even as a ketana, she's going to have to wait. But in the second version of Shmuel, if you have a shivcha or a yeris, she's not going to have to wait the requisite 3 months. Now why? We don't know yet. We're about to see. But we do know, however, that he subscribes to the same thinking as the Tana Rav Yosi.
What happened to that principle that, you know, you don't want the converts to think that they had it easier before they converted than now that they converted? This seems to contradict that.
No, it's not a full contradiction, but I do understand. Meaning, if for a Jew who's going to move on, she's going to have to wait, and she's going to have a more relaxed rule. Okay, right. I do hear that, but okay. All right, let me think about it more. I'm a rabbi, my time is the Rav Yosi. Good. Now let's see what's behind the position of Rav Yosi, where Rav Yosi says that a woman converts doesn't need to wait 3 months. The Gemara says it's hard to understand what the Gemara is about to give an explanation. Kasavar, Isha, Mizana, Mishamesh, Bamo, Kadesh, Lotisaber. So the Gemara says that in general, a woman who is not in the context of marriage, but she's just having relations with a man, so she doesn't want to get pregnant, so therefore she's going to use some sort of contraception. The Gemara over here describes it as moch. It's some sort of sponge that she puts inside of her in order to collect the zera, and that will basically serve as contraception. Okay? Many more details in terms of the laws of if and when a woman can use contraception, but right now in the context of our Gemara is just simply describing this is how she practiced when she was engaged in relations in her state of either being a shifcha or being a goya. So Amalei Abaye Bishlam Agiros came to die to Ligurim Mimter and Afshar Kedilav Chimed Zer Shenizra Begdusha Ubein Zer Shenizra Shalab Begdusha. So the Gemara says, now look, Abaye says, I can understand this to a certain degree. Let's start off with a woman that's about to convert. So when she's about to convert, so I understand that she's going to use contraception. Parenthetically, by the way, I will note, it is a little bit strange that a woman right now that we're describing is entertaining the idea of converting. And meanwhile, before she actually undergoes the conversion, so you're right, she's having relations with another man. It seems strange, meaning just it doesn't seem like she's ready to live the lifestyle of Kedush and Tahara. I will say that parenthetically, but again, we're just discussing the halachic requirement for her to wait 3 months. So the Gemara says that, look, when she understanding that she's going to go through a conversion, so it's so she understands that, and she's gonna practice she will use contraception in order to make sure that she doesn't get pregnant, so that if and when she converts, she'll know that she had the baby in a state of Kedush and Tahara, meaning as a Jew. They're fine. And Shvuyi v'shivcha nami d'shami me'marayu mintra nafshei. So the Gemara says, and we can say the same thing regarding a Shvuyi and a Shivcha, meaning they can, to a certain lesser degree, says the Gemara, but still, they can entertain the idea that they will be freed. They overhear the conversation that's going outside. For the Shivcha, she overhears that her master is going to free them. For the Shvuyi, same thing. In other words, look, it's not as easy to foresee, but still, it's imaginable that they will know that the freedom is coming. So therefore, again, whenever they engage in relations, they're going to use contraception to make sure that they know that if in the future they're going to have a child, they'll know exactly who the father is. Ela yotzos b'shein v'ayin eichem mishkachala. But we also know that when it comes to a shivcha, her freedom can happen automatically, immediately, without warning, and that is shein v'ayin. The Torah tells us that if a shivcha, and the truth, the same thing is true with a navikanani, but we're discussing women right now. So if a shivcha were to have either a tooth or an eye knocked out, so the halacha is that she goes free immediately. So now what bothers the Gemara is that she didn't see her freedom coming. So in other words, the practice of relations with contraception, so that's only going to be done by somebody who knows that in the very near future they're going to get freed. But in this particular case, it happened automatically. So the Gemara says, okay, maybe that's not a question. Maybe Rabbi Yossi will tell you, point taken, that in such a situation, she will have to wait 3 months because she didn't see it coming. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi matir le'ares v'linase miyad. Meanwhile, we have a Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, it's a braisa, but it tells us that if you have a woman who was raped or seduced, so she has to wait 3 months according to Rav Yehuda. But Rav Yossi says, no, she doesn't. And the Gemara now asks the obvious question. Well, the Gemara doesn't spell out the question, but let's spell out the question. Obviously, rape is totally unanticipated. It's a tragedy, and it's totally unanticipated. And meanwhile, Rav Yossi sticks to his gun. Rav Yossi says that she does not have to wait the requisite 3 months. She does not have to establish paternity, seemingly, which we know is not true, which we're going to explain in just a moment. But why not? Meaning she didn't see this coming, and it's very possible that, unfortunately, the rape could have resulted in a pregnancy. So the Gemara says, El Amar Abaye, Isha Mizana Mitapech, Eshol Titaber. So Abaye, now explaining Rav Yossi, says that it's possible, and we're going to have to use the word stronger than possible, right? Let's say probable. I think we're going to have to use the word stronger than that. But a woman who is raped can practice a form of contraception even after the biyum, even after the relations was had. The Gemara over here describes it as misapeche. She turns herself over. Again, don't look to me to give an anatomical explanation, a physiological explanation. But somehow she's going to try to she's going to try to prevent the pregnancy even after the biyum. And Rav Yehuda's counter argument, very simple, that's not an effective form of contraception, meaning that once they had relations and now she's trying to prevent the pregnancy after the relation. So the Gemara says Rav Yehuda's position is very simple. That's not going to be an effective form of contraception, and therefore she's going to have to wait 3 months, the requisite 3 month period. Okay. Ad Khan, that takes us now to the end of that discussion of the Gemara. So again, a basic machlokus, or two versions of Shmuel, and a basic machlokus between Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda, and we know that in order for Shmuel to take his second position, he's subscribing to the viewpoint of Rav Yossi. And again, Rav Yossi's position is that a woman who is, he doesn't describe get, but he describes a woman who went and undergone a conversion, or a shivcha who undergone shichur. So in both those circumstances, she does not need to wait the requisite 3 month period. And we're going to even extend that to, the Gemara quotes a Mishnah, also to a Shvuya as well. That if a woman was held captive and then she was released, and even though, unfortunately, in her captive state, she was violated, in all those circumstances, Rav Yossi does not require a 3 month period. And the reason why, the basic reason why it provides the Gemara is because she's going to practice some form of contraception to make sure she doesn't get pregnant. Okay. On the issue of Gior Shivu and Shivcha, she has to wait 3 months. And get, always have to wait 3 months.
Well, our cases have to
wait 6 months. Right, and in the very unlikely scenario, in other words, nowadays, there's no Mion nowadays, but in Mion they wouldn't have to wait 3 months, but outside of that, they would. And Mion, of course, is for Katana. No?
Today,
yeah, forget they wait 3 months. That's... unfortunately, I've been in enough gets. A ketana, so again, that depends on the two versions of Shmuel. But a ketana, according to the... No, I'm sorry, that doesn't depend. No, even Shmuel says that whenever a marriage is severed by a get, so they're going to have to wait 3 months. And what about the fact that she's a ketana? That's part of the gezerah. That was what Shmuel said earlier. Okay, going back to now the last line of the Mishnah. And Rabbi Yossi, no, for a get, Rabbi Yossi is not describing a get. Rabbi Yossi is only describing a woman that was involved in relations, even against her will. But it was not describing a woman who was terminating a marriage. Okay. The last thing that was mentioned in the Gemara is same scenario, two brothers, two sisters, both got married, and tragically the wives got swapped at the wedding, unbeknownst to everybody. And so the Mishnah says, okay, it was a shogeg. It was accidental. So, yes or no? Wait 3 months. Okay. Right now, hopefully we're nice and confused. In other words, generally speaking, wait 3 months. She's a katana, open for a discussion. Although the Mishnah is pretty clear that in this case, because it's so unusual, she doesn't have to wait 3 months. And then the Mishnah says, Im hayu kahanos, the last line of the Mishnah, niflum in the truma, that if she's a kohen, so then she will be disqualified from truma. Now I pointed out in the Mishnah, if you look carefully at the Mishnah and you look at the side of the Mishnah, so it actually says she's disqualified from kahuna, which we'll discuss right now. Im hayu kahanos, if they are kahanos, kahanos in Yisrael is low, so the Gemara is bothered because it sounds like from the Mishnah, that if they're kahanos, meaning benos kohanim. The Mishnah sounds like if we're describing benos kohanim, the daughters of kohanim. So it sounds like our Mishnah is describing where they were benos kohanim, but if they're Yisraelim, so then no. So, meaning the... even if she was a Bas Yisrael and she was involved in an extramarital relations, and unfortunately the halacha is even if that extramarital relations was not in her intent, and even if God forbid she was violated, so she's still going to be asked to her husband. So what bothers the Gemara right now is that the Mishnah seems to be very misleading. The Mishnah says that she's a daughter of a Kohen, so she's going to be disqualified from the Kahuna. That's not true. Meaning. Sorry, that is true, but that's misleading. It doesn't matter what a Cohen's wife is. She could be a Bas Cohen, she could be a Bas Yisrael. If she was involved in extramarital relations, so then she's prohibited to her husband. Okay, so Mishnah is unclear. So the Gemara says, "Nimayu neshekel on him." So the Gemara says, "Okay, so we're going to make a small adjustment in the Mishnah. The Mishnah stands to read neshekel on him, meaning that it has no relation, it has no bearing what she is, a bas kohen, a bas Yisrael. It matters that she was married to a kohen. So neshei nekohen neimin, neshei Yisrael lo. So the Gemara says." Okay, so then that means that in the case of Neshe Kohanim, but not Neshe Yisrael, V'amar Avamar, and Hamilsa Amalan Rav Sheshes, V'an Harino La'ainina Mimas Nisan. So the Rav Sheshes said it, but then we further investigate, and it really comes out from a Mishnah. Eish Yisrael, Shenen Sa'afa Pishu Mater Sabala, Psula Lekuhuna. The halacha goes like this. You have Eish Yisrael. She's married to a Yisrael. She was violated. She stays with her husband. But she is pasul l'kahuna. What are we talking about? So Rashi explains it means like this. It means that this woman is a bas kohen. She's married to Yisrael. Okay, now even though she's a bas kohen, but her husband's a Yisrael, so that affects the halacha in that. If she was, God forbid, she was violated. So that means that she could still stay with her husband. Because the halacha that a woman has to leave her husband under the case of ones is only when she's married to a kohen, not when she's married to Yisrael. However, in this case where she was a bas kohen, so even though she could stay with her husband, but for her herself, she can't eat truma anymore. Now you'll say, she's currently not in a position where she can eat truma. So the Gemara says, as we're about to see in just a moment, right, the current state, she can't eat truma because she's married to Yisrael, but if this marriage were to terminate and she does not have children, so then she can go back to her parents' house. That's under usual circumstances. But in this circumstance, she can't. And that's the Gemara's next line. That's exactly the point that's being made over here. That in our circumstance where she was a bas kohen, she was married to Yisrael. Unfortunately, she was me'unessa. She was violated. She can, in her current state, she can stay with her husband, and in her current state, she can't eat truma because she's married to Yisrael. However, if in the event, God forbid, that her marriage now were to terminate, either divorce or she becomes a widow, and she has no children, she could return back to her parents' house to eat truma. But because she was violated, so therefore it's mechalal her, it removes her rights and her merits of being a kohen and a bas kohen. So therefore, under such circumstances, she can't go back to eat the truma. Okay. Hajjalach Arba'ach, and that is the end of the fourth parak of the Masech. Of the third parak of the Masech. All right, let's begin. We're on Lamed Hamad base. We're now starting the fourth parak. And here we go. Hacholot Levimto. Okay, we now know. In fact, it's really a smooth segue from our previous discussion to the current discussion. We now know that in order to establish paternity, so a woman has to wait 3 months. And that's important in general. Whenever a woman moves from one marriage to the next marriage, from one relationship to the next relationship, she's going to have to wait 3 months in order to establish paternity. And nowadays, we can establish paternity with our modern medicine, maybe we could be more medical nowadays. They have to wait 90 days even nowadays. Okay, but anyway, in order to establish paternity, you have to wait 3 months. Fine, that much we know. Let's go back to our regular Yibam scenario before I start reading the Mishnah. In a regular Yibam scenario, so what happens? So unfortunately, her husband died, and now she, and let's even assume that they're co-wives, so now they have a mitzvah of Yibam. In other words, they're the Yivamos, they're the widow is waiting, and they're waiting for a Yavam for one of the surviving brothers to perform the mitzvah of Yibam. Okay. But we also know that the mitzvah of Yibam is only there if she did not have a child. If she had a child, so then there's no mitzvah of Yibam. Okay. Let's say that right before the husband died, he impregnated her. So is there now a mitzvah of Yibam? The answer right now is, we don't know. If the child comes out and the child is viable, the answer is going to be no, there's no mitzvah of Yibam. If the child does not make it through the gestation period and the child dies and is a miscarriage, so then that means that she did not have a viable child, and then there's a mitzvah of Yibam. So if her husband left her pregnant, so right now the answer is we don't know if there's a mitzvah of Yibum, yes or no. And what we're going to be discussing in our Mishnah is, what if either Yibum or Chalitza was done to a woman who was left widowed but pregnant? Okay. So this is our Mishnah. Well, let's see the Mishnah inside. Cholos Levimta. So you do Chalitza to a Yivama. V'nimtzas me'uberes, and lo and behold, she turns out to be pregnant. So let's assume, Rashi says this, Tosfos says this, let's assume that he didn't wait the requisite 3 months. He should have waited. By 3 months, women will be able to identify whether or not they are pregnant. So by the end of the first trimester. So the but the brother-in-law didn't wait, and he performed chalitza to his yavama, and then she turns out to be pregnant. The yalda, and she gives birth. Now, chalitza was done between the yavam and the yavama. Right. But it may have been unnecessary. And now, we waited a little bit. She had the baby. Baby came out, Baruch Hashem, healthy. So now, we now know that there was no mitzvah of Yibum. And because there was no mitzvah of Yibum, so basically, what do we say about the chalitza that was actually performed? It was unnecessary. And because it was unnecessary, so therefore we don't view it. Meaning we just basically say it was a ceremony. But it had no legal significance whatsoever. She is not his chalutza. Consequently, of course he can't marry her, Eishes Ach, but he can marry any one of her relatives. She can marry her sister, she can marry any one of her relatives. We do not view the chalitza that was done as any indication of a legal bond between him and her, because it was unnecessary. V'hi mutaris bekrovav, and she will be permitted to any of his relatives. V'lo pasul min kahuna, and she will not be disqualified from kahuna. We know that a chalutza is not allowed to marry a kohen. That's a din d'rabbanan. The Gemara told us that about a week ago, that a chalutza cannot marry a kohen, but she's not a chalutza. Yes, they went through the ceremony of chalitza, but because she didn't need it, because she had a child, so therefore that chalitza ceremony was nothing, it was zero, and therefore she'd be allowed to marry a kohen. Ain havlad shel kayama, but if the child was not viable, who asur bekrovosah, v'hi asur bekrovav, upasam in a kahuna. But let's say, God forbid, the child did not come out as a viable child, which means that she was left a widow, childless. So that means that the chalitza that was done to her, granted it was done prematurely, the brother did it before the 3 months were up. He should have waited, but he didn't. So now, but the chalitza is still a chalitza, because she needed it. And so therefore, all the halachas of chalitza kick in. Number one, because now the relationship between the yavam and the yavama now are chalitza and chalitza, so we view that as if they were once married, which therefore that means that he can't marry any of her relatives. She can't marry any of his relatives. She's the chalitza, she can't marry a kohen. Okay. That's the first half of the Mishnah. Now moving on to the second half of the Mishnah, now we're going to... That wasn't so tragic. Now it's going to get more tragic. What if instead of doing chalitza, and the first half was pretty tragic, what if now instead of doing chalitza, let's say he does yibum to her prematurely? Okay, now, as you can well imagine, the problems here get much worse. Hakones es yivimto v'nimtzeis mu'uberes. So he does yibum. And again, the Mishnah's language of nimtzeis means that he did it prematurely. He didn't know that she was pregnant. And the reason why is because he did it before the 3 months were up. So he did yibum early. And now, as it turns out, after having done Yibum, now she's pregnant. Turns out that she was pregnant. And it's pretty clear from the signs of pregnancy that this was not his. And we'll discuss in just a moment, what if it's not clear? What if we don't know? So we'll get to that in just a moment. The Yaldam. And then she had a child. Bizman Shav Lashel Kayama Yotzi. So if the child is a viable child, so what does that mean? It means then that there was no mitzvah of Yibum. It means that the act of relations that he had with her was a forbidden act. She's an erva to him. She's a shesach. And with no mitzvah of Yibum, so it just remains that. It's an iser arayus. Now, when he had relations with her, he didn't know. Meaning, he didn't know she was pregnant. Now, he's at fault because he should have waited 3 months. And he didn't wait the 3 months. But he didn't know that she was pregnant. So we'll put this under the category of shogeg. Interesting. We'll say that this is... This is not an Avera Gemura because he didn't know she was pregnant. At the same time, we're not going to leave him without fault. We're not going to exonerate him. So, he should have waited 3 months. So this act falls under the category of Shogeg, and therefore he has to bring a Karban. V'chayavim b'Karban.
Waiting 3 months is
Yes, but the reason why it's... it's the Rabbanan, but it's going to result in a carbon because the Din de Rabbanan is predicated on the simple fact that you need to know whether or not she was left with a child or without a child.
What happened to Rabbi Yehoshua's opinion that if he was doing a mitzvah, which he's doing...
He was told a Dvar mitzvah.
Right.
Oh, very good. Very good, and good. Okay. Could be. I mean, the previous mission was one like Rabbi Eliezer. Does that mean this mission also was one like Rabbi Eliezer? Good question. Okay. The chayav and bekarmen. Ve'im ein avlad shel chayam ikayim. Now, what if the child that emerges was not a viable child? So then the marriage can be sustained. In other words, that means then that she was widowed childless. Again, there was a lot of drama in order to arrive at that conclusion that she was widowed childless. But if the child was miscarried, so then she was widowed childless, and then we're back to that there was a mitzvah of Yibam, and what the husband did was retroactively, and we're not going to say was correct, was fine. Safik ben Tisha Rishon, Safik ben Shiva L'Acharon. Okay, now let's say he waited 2 months, and then he did the mitzvah of Yibam. Again, that's not what he should have done. What he should have done was waited 3 months, but he didn't. He waited 2 months, and then 7 months later, a baby came out. Now we know, we've seen enough Gemara together. We know that from the Gemara's perspective, a full gestation can either be one of two options. It could either be a 7 month gestation or a 9 month gestation. There is no 8 month gestation from the Gemara's perspective. But over here now, being that those are two options, so that means now that this child legitimately can be one of two, can be the child of one of two fathers. It could either have been the former brother or it could be now the current brother. So now what? Yotzi v'havlad kasher. So now he must divorce her, and the child is going to be kosher. Child is going to be kosher. Think about it. Okay, it's unpleasant, but it works. It works out. Meaning, let's go over both scenarios. Let's say the child was of the former brother. So that means then that okay, the child was born in wedlock in a relationship. Okay, mom had a prohibited act of bia afterwards, but that doesn't affect the status of the child. Child was a legitimate child of the first brother. Let's go the other direction. Let's say that it was his child. So if it was his child, that means then that there was a mitzvah of Yibam, and dad fulfilled the mitzvah of Yibam, so therefore the resulting child that comes out is a perfectly legitimate child. So either way you look at it, the child status is okay. Okay, understood. There are a bunch of other questions which we're not going to answer, but in terms of his status, his... You know, his psul, is he disqualified? He's not. Good. V'chayav and bashem taloi. And in terms of the parents now, knowing or not, I'm sorry, not knowing whether or not they did the right thing, and it could be they did, it could be they didn't, and it's not something that they currently don't know, something that they never will know. Meaning there's just simply not enough information to clarify whether or not what the parents did was right or wrong. So therefore, the parents have to bring a special carbon referred to as an Ashem Talui. Ashem Talui, classic scenario of Ashem Talui is when there's a piece of fat in front of you. Two pieces, I should say. One that's forbidden and one that's permissible. You ate one of the two pieces and the other one was removed and you don't know which one you ate. And so therefore, you just, did I eat chalev? Undetermined. So there's a carbon that you bring called an Ashem Talui that protects you from yisurim, from any type of suffering, until there may come a point later on where that information is going to be determined. Here's the same thing. Okay.
What is that point? I mean, in this case, when is the point going to be that they're going to determine?
Right, agreed. In other words, there may never be a point.
But the requirement, Talui, is that they have to be able that ability to overturn it.
Eshem Talui will be brought even if the information will never be determined. There's more, I'll tell you what, there's more to discuss about this, but let's go on. Let's move on to Gemara. Itmar. Okay, and here we get now to a very fundamental debate between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan. Let's say, I know it sounds like we're reviewing the Mishnah, but as you'll see in just a moment, we're not exactly reviewing the Mishnah. Let's say a man does chalitza to his Yavama, and she was pregnant. and she was pregnant. Before we start with the Gemara, sorry. Let me just discuss one thing which I find to be fascinating. Let's do this quickly because I know we're behind. But it's just look at the second Tosfos on the Amud. As I mentioned already a number of times, our Mishnah is describing a scenario where he did Yibum Chalitza before the 3 months were up. Okay? The Tosus wonders out loud, what if he did Yibum and Chalitza after 3 months and then discovered that she was pregnant? So Tosus writes as follows. Gimel Chadashim Ari Dumi De Seifa. I'm sorry, the second Tosos. Becholitz Toch Gimel Chadashim Ari Dumi De Seifa. Da Koni Sifim To Dari Toch Gimel. The Ilach Gimel Amai Chayev Karban. Kevin Derov Nashim Ubram Nikar Lishlish. Vizu Hol Velo Hukar Ubra Mai Havel Ameibad. So the Tosos over here points out the following. Let's say they waited 3 months. Okay? And then, good, he did exactly what he was supposed to do. And then afterwards he marries her. He does the mitzvah of Yibum. And then, a day or two later, a discovery that she was pregnant. Okay, now that's, Tosos says that's highly unlikely, but what if? So Tosos says, our Mishnah is not describing that scenario. That's a perfectly legitimate scenario. Now again, the consequence would be that he may have to end up divorcing her, and et cetera, et cetera. But Tosos says, but I'll tell you what's not going to have to happen. You're not going to have to bring a carbon. Right? Tosos says the carbon that you have to bring is only talking about a scenario where he did not wait the 3 months. But if he did wait the 3 months, and then lo and behold, should they discover that she was pregnant, so he doesn't have to bring a carbon. Why? So Tosos over here employs the principle of Rov. Rov tells us that in life you follow the majority. Okay, that's the, you live life following the majority. And generally speaking, women are demonstrative of the pregnancy within three months, or by the end of 3 months, they're usually going to indicate whether or not they're pregnant or not. So if after 3 months this woman showed no sign of pregnancy, and then the Yava married her, that doesn't fall under the category of shogeg predicated on the principle of rov. Really interesting discussion. Again, I'm just highlighting the Tosfos, that as long as you're within the parameters of rov, so then that does not qualify even as a shogeg.
If his marriage is after 3 months, right, he hasn't done anything wrong. So why doesn't he become an affair? Why even broke? He hasn't done anything wrong. He's not like.
But if she's pregnant.
No, but the thing is, the halakha says you have to wait 3 months.
I understand that.
Whether she's pregnant or not.
I understand, but the resulting reality is that if she's pregnant and she has a child, then there was no mitzvah of Yibum. I hear your point.
I know, but the thing is that
I understand. Good. That's exactly Tosus's point. Meaning, we're going to go through all the consequences that the Mishnah points out, but he's not going to bring a carbon chatas, and the reason why is because this is not a shogeg. It's unfortunate, but it's not a shogeg.
And still yikes.
Yeah. Correct. Meaning, all the consequences of the Mishnah would still be in play, but it's not a shogeg. Okay. Now let's go to the Gemara. Idmar cholzim obarz vehipula. The Gemara now describes the following scenario. Okay, the woman's pregnant. He did chalitza to her. So, and then it turns out that the child that came out was not viable. Okay, it's not exactly our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is describing a scenario where he didn't know she was pregnant, and then he did chalitza to her. And again, our Mishnah, we're not patting him on the back. In other words, he did it prematurely, but okay. But here in this discussion, what we're about to have now, he knows that she's pregnant, and he did chalitza to her anyway. Now, again, is she required to do Yibam and Chalitza? Right now the answer is we don't know. Because it's not until the child that comes out with being a viable child are we then going to say that there was no mitzvah of Yibam, and then consequently the Chalitza that was done was meaningless. But we're now going to entertain the following discussion, and that is, he did Chalitza while she was pregnant. And let's say that the child does not come out. Let's say the child is miscarried, God forbid. And now it turns out that she needs Chalitza. Can we make the argument that the chalitza that was done to her, albeit not the husband, that's not the way the husband should have behaved, but can we now look back at the chalitza and say the chalitza that was done was effective, and now she's free to go?
What? By the same logic, why if he changes his mind, he wants to do even that after the chalitza?
Oh, right, same question. Okay, so Rav Yochanan Amar Nesricha Chalitza Min Ha'achen, Reish Lakish Amar Tzricha Chalitza Min Ha'achen. So Rav Yochanan says that the chalitza is not required, and Reish Lakish says that tzricha is required. That chalitza is required. Rav Yochanan Amar in Tzricha Chalitza Min Ha'achen, chalitza is mubarish ma chalitza obias mubarish ma bia. So Rav Yochanan takes a position which is going to be really hard to defend, but we're going to try. And Rav Yochanan's position is that she's pregnant, but the chalitza and the yibum that's done to her is effective. Now, again, keep this in mind. If the baby comes out being viable, so then we're not talking chalitza and we're not talking yibum, obviously. There's no mitzvah. But Rav Yochanan's position is that even though right now, currently, there is still a possibility of Yibam and Chalitza, considering if God forbid, the baby comes out not viable, so then there was a mitzvah of Yibam, there was a mitzvah of Chalitza. So Rav Yochanan's argument is that that Chalitza that was done to her, or the Yibam, for that matter, that's done while she's pregnant, and everyone knows she's pregnant, is going to retroactively be viable if the baby does not come out. Okay. It's hard to defend, but we're going to defend Rav Yochanan. Reish Lakish Amar Tzricha Chalitza Menachem Chalitza Smeber Loshma Chalitza Ubiyaz Meuber Loshma Bia. And Reish Lakish's position is no, it's no good. In other words, either Chalitza Yibam done to the Yavama who is pregnant is not, has no halachic validity. So the Gemara says, and we can argue that we can understand this argument based on logic or based on psukim. So Rav Yochanan says, let's say we had a crystal ball. Now I know that's a funny way to describe it, so the Gemara doesn't describe it that way. Let's say we had Eliyahu Navi, and we asked him the following question. Look, I know she's currently pregnant right now, but tell me right now, Eliyahu Navi. You're a Navi. You know these things. So let's imagine that that Eliyahu Navi comes and says, you know what? It's not going to be viable. Okay, so now what does that tell us now? Right? And now that we have a window into the future, we now know that she's chayav in the mitzvah of Yibam Chalitza. Because even though she's pregnant, we also know that the destiny of this pregnancy is that it's not going to result in a baby. Okay. So now, Rav Yochanan's argument is, all we're missing right now is just a little peek into the future. That's all we're missing. Because if you had a peek into the future, you know. So Rav Yochanan says, so why should anything change? Just because we don't know the future means that the chalitza and the yibum that was done is inconsequential? Okay. I know that was a very hard argument. Right? All we're missing is a window into the future. That's not a small thing. I understand that. But again, we're just trying to defend Rav Yochanan. And Reish Lakish says that's not a small thing, right? We don't, right? And to say, well, look, all we're missing is a window into the future. Reish Lakish says that's.
What about the period of time from 3 months to 9 months? 6 months period of time.
I understand. Right. Correct. He's not ignoring it. He's just simply saying that if and when we discover that the baby wasn't viable, we're now going to look back and we're going to say the chalitza was done was viable. All we're doing, it's such a legal argument. We want to know, was it a viable chalitza? I understand there's going to be a lot of collateral damage based on this, but we're not, right now we're just looking at the status of the chalitza that was done during her pregnancy. That's it. It's a very legal argument. And it could be based on psukim, because the Torah says, when is there a mitzvah of Yibam when there's no child? And Rav Yochanan will tell you, well, currently right now there's no child. I know her pregnancy speaks to the fact that she may have a child in the future, but right now, currently, no child. And Reish Lakish Avra Uvenein Lo Ayin Alav. And Reish Lakish will say that the Ayin is written with a Yud. And again, we've made this point already before in the Masechta. It didn't have to be written with a Yud. Could have been left with Aleph Nun. The Yud allows us to darshan the Pasuk Ayin, which means that you don't have to actually see the child right now, but if she's pregnant, that's worthy of an investigation. And here, by the way, we don't have to be such good investigators. Meaning, it's very easy to forecast that she's going to have a baby. And that would preclude her ability to do Yibam or Chalitza. Okay. So good. So here we are right now.
Why didn't you apply the concept of Rove here, that the majority of pregnancies end up in viable
right.
trials?
Correct. Right? Isn't that funny? And I just quoted Tosfos that says that Rove is going to be determined for Karban Chatas. And over here, good. Very, very good. Okay, I told you, Rav Yochanan's position is going to be very hard. Very, very hard to defend. So, but we're going to try. Ezra Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. So first, a challenge from Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish based on our very Mishnah. If the child is not viable. Remember, our Mishnah is describing a scenario where Chalitza was done. He didn't know she was pregnant, but she was. And we found that out. But what did our Mishnah say? That the Chalitza that was done was the chalitza that was done. I'm sorry, ain of lacho kayama. If the child turns out not to be viable, so then So then we view the chalitza as a valid chalitza. That's our Mishnah. Bishlam l'didisa Rabbi Yochanan now holds the Mishnah up and says, look, perfect. For me, the Mishnah is perfect. Bishlam l'didisa mina chalitza m'abresh ma'chalitza mishum hachi pasla ela lidid chadamar chalitza m'abresh rosh ma'chalitza my psula mina kahuna. So Reish Lakish, what are you going to do with our Mishnah? Right? What a strong question. Because our Mishnah says that the chalitza was done during pregnancy, and lo and behold, after pregnancy, what does it turn out? It turns out that the baby was not viable. And meanwhile, the Mishnah says the chalitza that was done was good. So the Reish Lakish will say in his defense that you're right. The Mishnah does seem difficult against me. What I will say is that this is a chomer derabanan. We will give her the status of a chalutza, even though the chalutza wasn't good. Igadarma, the Gemara brings down another version. Eisvei Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan, Navlasha Kayama, who asa b'krovasel, v'yasur b'krovav, upasam in a kahuma. Bishlam l'didi. Now, in the second version, we're having Reish Lakish holding up the Mishnah. For me, da'amina chalitza's mo'ibar so shma chalitza, ha'nik ditani pasam in a kahuna l'chomra. V'loketani eina tzricha chalitza min ha'achim. So for me, actually, the Mishnah works out well. Why? Because look carefully at the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, pasal min ha'kahuna. The Mishnah tells us that as a consequence of the chalitza that was done, she's disqualified from kahuna. However, the Mishnah does not say that she doesn't require chalitza from the other brothers. Do you know why the Mishnah doesn't say it? Because she needs chalitza from the brothers, because, in actuality, the chalitza that was done was simply no good. But according to you, Rav Yochanan, do you know what the Mishnah should say? The Mishnah should say that she, from this point going forward, she doesn't need chalitza anymore. Why? Because chalitza was already done. The Mishnah doesn't say that. So Rav Yochanan will say now in his defense, well, look, I know the Mishnah doesn't say it, but it's as if the Mishnah said it. It's only for the purposes of symmetry that the Mishnah over here describes disqualified to kahuna, not disqualified to kahuna, but the truth of the matter is that Rav Yochanan would argue, in my defense, once chalitza was done during a pregnancy, that's a valid chalitza. Let's do one more round. Okay, we're now at the second half of the Mishnah. We're talking about what if he did yibum to her, and again, she was pregnant, they didn't know. And then they discover the pregnancy. So if the vlad did not come out viable, so then we can now say that the mitzvah of yibum that was done was good. So again, Rav Yochanan gets to hold up the Mishnah and say, what do you see? The yibum done during a pregnancy had legal validity. Right? Because if the baby is not a viable baby, so then we revert back to the mitzvah of yibum that was done during pregnancy. So Rav Yochanan will tell you, good. So, but according to you, Reish Lakish, you are of the opinion that any act that's done during pregnancy, either chalitza or yibum, is not a legally viable act. So now, once the baby comes out to be miscarried, okay, the mitzvah of yibum is still intact. But any action that was done during the pregnancy has no validity. Yibum has to be done again. And the Mishnah doesn't say that. And Reish Lakish, what are you going to say about that? So the Gemara defends Reish Lakish. So the Gemara says, according to Reish Lakish, correct. That's exactly what needs to be done. Meaning the Mishnah, I know the Mishnah uses shorthand by simply saying Yikayim, but Yikayim means that you have to do Bia again. Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan finishing up now the second round. Reish Lakish is now going to hold up our Mishnah. So again, looking at the same line of the Mishnah, but this is a second version of the discussion. So Bishlam l'didamina chalitza m'beres l'shma chalitza b'yis m'beres l'shma m'ya ha'nei v'itani yikayim v'yachzor v'yibol v'yikayim d'lo sagi v'lav hachi. So Reish Lakish will say, in my defense, you know what the Mishnah means? It means that the act of bia has to be repeated, because without that, the mitzvah of yibam has not been performed. Yes, they had bia during pregnancy, but Reish Lakish will tell you that has no validity. But according to you, Rav Yochanan, what's the point of the Mishnah? According to you, Rav Yochanan, the point of the Mishnah should be they're married. Which means that you don't need to say any act, any verb that indicates that they have to do something going forward. Meaning what was done was done. And what the Mishnah should say is, look, he's married. He wants to keep her, fine. He wants a divorce, so he has to give her a get. But nothing active needs to be done in order for this marriage to work. So, in Achinami, so Rav Yochanan, in his defense, would say, of course, right. That's what you'd have to say if you held like me. But I did the Tana Resha. Yotzi Tananami Sefer Yikayim. Again, for the purposes of symmetry, the Mishnah uses the word of Yikayim to complement the other side of the Mishnah, which says Yotzi. But you're right, according to me, the fact that they had relations during pregnancy means that it was a legally binding and valid act. And Yikayim just simply is used over here for purposes of symmetry. Okay, let's pause over here. Where do we stand right now? A basic machlokas right now between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. We're not done, which is why, Eddie, I'm not going to tell you who we follow, because we're not done yet. But right now, the question on the table is whether or not either Yibam or Chalitza was done during the widow's pregnancy. She was pregnant from her first husband. Will that have validity? So again, if the baby that comes out is viable, so the answer, of course, is going to be no, because then obviously there was no mitzvah. But if the baby did not come out viable, so can we make the argument that the act that was done during pregnancy has validity? At this point, Rav Yochanan says yes, Reish Lakish says no, and stay tuned. And the Gemara provided arguments in either direction. Stay tuned, because the Gemara is going to modify this whole machlokas.